Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Going to turn our attention in this 5 o'clock hour to high school sports and breaking news today. If you want to read the article, you can go to WHBC.com to check it out. Historic move. Ohio now has girls wrestling and boys volleyball. And when I woke up this morning, saw this story, I was like, wow, okay. Didn't know that was in the works. So we figured, you know what? Who better to tell us all about it than the current Senior Director of Communications at OSHA, Tim Street. He joins us via the Wake'em Way hotline. Tim, Happy New Year. Welcome to the show again. How are you?
Happy New Year to you as well. Great to be with you. Yeah, historic day, but doing well here in Columbus. Hope the same for you.
Well, we're hanging in there as well. Thanks so much. And Tim, how long has this been in the works? Because it caught me by surprise. I had heard nothing about this, but obviously this just doesn't happen overnight.
You're right. It's been in the works for a while, more so on the boys volleyball side. They had their first state tournament back in 1988. And gosh, they've been meeting, and I say they, meaning the leadership of their statewide coaches association. They've been meeting with OHSA staff for, maybe 6 or 7 years, honestly. That goes back to Dr. Dan Ross when he was commissioner. The sport is certainly heavy in certain pockets of the state. It's a similar sport to maybe our ice hockey state tournament. Some parts of the state don't have that sport, and others it's really big. So, boys volleyball has certainly been talking with OHSA for a while. Girls wrestling, it might be one of the fastest growing sports in Ohio right now. It's a relatively new sport. They've been talking with OHSA since right before COVID. It was probably late 2019 when they first started meeting. And there's a lengthy process to go through when you want to become a sanctioned sport, and both of those sports have certainly done that.
Tim, when you add sports like this all throughout the great state of Ohio, 88 counties, I can't remember exactly how many high schools. You had told us before when we were talking about the high school playoffs. How do they apply? Do they have to apply for these sports before? I mean, obviously, before they implement them, but I mean, how many schools right now are interested in boys volleyball and girls wrestling?
Sure. Well, there's not an official written application, but there is a checklist that our staff uses, not only the executive director, but also Bob Goldring is a really instrumental person with our emerging sports. There's a whole checklist of things that a sport would need to go through in order to be approved, like what we had today. Certainly a tournament structure that is strongly in place, that's a big part of it. A coaches association with statewide representation, that's a big part of it. I'll give you a couple examples. For example, I drive by almost every day. I drive by the Olentangy High School Equestrian Club.
Wow.
So there's certainly other sports out there and activities that are strong in some schools, but you need to have a statewide coaches association. You need to be able to show that you have a strong financial footing in order to come on board. So, they're definitely a long process. To answer your question about how many schools, well, first of all, we have 817 high schools. So that certainly is a big number. Not every part of the state is strong in these two sports. Boys volleyball has similar numbers to our ice hockey tournament. We have about 85 schools in Ohio that have boys volleyball. Girls wrestling probably has more schools that have an active participant than that. There's a handful of schools that have a whole team, meaning they can fill out at least 7 weight classes, but there's a lot of schools now that have at least a couple girls who wrestle. So I think the number of schools that have at least one female wrestler is a couple hundred.
Happy to have Tim Street joining us via the Wake 'em Way hotline here today on the Kenny and JT show, talking about the story, again, that broke this morning, and you can read it on WHBC.com. Ohio now has wrestling and boys volleyball, and you mentioned the term emerging sports. Share for our listeners what the definition, I guess, is of emerging sports.
Sure, yeah, and this was a category that went in under former Commissioner Dr. Dan Ross. We have a category for sports that we call it emerging. That means they're a newer sport. The other announcement today we made is that girls and boys lacrosse will now move out of that category of emerging sports, and it will move into our normal list of what we call recognized sports. For the most part, and for the common fan, they're not going to see any difference between a recognized sport and an emerging sport. So next winter, so like in February of 2023, when we have our first girls wrestling state tournament, the normal fan won't notice any difference. What we look at with emerging sports is that they'll go through an annual review process. We'll want to meet with their coaches associations more often and make sure that everything is getting started well. There's a couple more financial aspects of being an emerging sport. So, you know, lacrosse came into the OHSA in 2017. So now about 5 years later, they're moving on to recognize. That's about the timeline, but the normal fan won't notice any difference.
Tim Street, my mind goes right to this. I start thinking of championships, and you guys, thank goodness you bring it back to the football championships of Stark County. We enjoy having it, and we know that we've got the seven divisions all playing at Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium. But I start thinking about volleyball, and I start thinking about girls wrestling. I start thinking about maybe state championships. How many courts would you need for each one if you were going to hold your state championships, and have you even decided yet where those championships might be held?
Yeah, let me answer the last part first. We have not made any decision yet on where the boys volleyball and girls wrestling state tournaments will be held. In fact, we got a lot of work to do before that, actually. We need to start working on our sport regulations and the calendar for next school year. For example, what is the start date for practice? How many regular season contests can they have? All those types of questions. So we got a lot of work to do, even before we start thinking the end of the season. But, you know, for boys volleyball, they have traditionally had their state tournament at Capital University here in Columbus. Certainly that's an option, and we'll look at venues like that. And the girls wrestling state tournament has been held over on the west side of Columbus at Hilliard-Davidson High School. We'll certainly look at our various options for that. You know, a lot of our state tournaments are just at amazing venues. Of course, Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium there in Canton is at the top of the list, in my opinion. But we'll definitely look for standout facilities for these two. I hadn't even really started thinking about a venue yet for the state final, just knowing all the work we have to do to get ready for next August and the start of the school year.
Let me just invite you back up to Canton. It's just a quick trip up 71 to 30. You'll be here in about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. I'll take you down to the Memorial Fieldhouse, and I'll also get the keys to the Civic Center. How's that sound?
I thought you had the keys for all those, so I'm glad to know that.
There you go. You know who to call, Tim, if you need some help with that. Tim Street, our guest from OSHA, talking about the emerging sports now of boys volleyball and girls wrestling. And then I also saw in the press release, Tim, the possibility in the future of esports, meaning gaming. And we see kids now getting scholarships and going to college because of video games. And I used to yell at my son, you're playing too much Madden, you're playing too much FIFA soccer and all that. Now you have a chance to get scholarships for this in college. What about that in Ohio in the future?
Yeah, I'm glad you saw that. Boy, that was kind of a footnote in the press release, but boy, and you know, I never honestly thought we would get to that point. You know, the last couple years, a lot of colleges are starting esports teams and even having scholarships. You're right, Kenny, about that. But yeah, we have been talking with a few different groups and companies that this is what they do. They have esports and gaming down to a science, and they do it really well. And so we've already been talking with them for a year or so now, and those talks progress. So we're going to we wanted to mention that in the release just to kind of give them a nod that, hey, we're serious about this. You know, we are seriously talking about potentially doing this down the road. I think what I want to make sure we stress is that most likely we would partner with a company or a group that would help us run that, because, guys, you do not want me setting up the gaming tournament. Okay, my Nintendo does not work anymore.
Yeah, we ain't playing Pac-Man there.
Well, if I can find someone that has a working Nintendo and we can play Tecmo Bowl 94, I'm going to win that thing. I can guarantee you that.
Get yourself there a scholarship and off you go. Tim Street is our guest, Ohio High School Athletic Association Senior Director of Communications. Hey, Tim, something that I've really been meaning to ask you, and I'm so happy that we have you on the program today, addressing players, and I don't know if you've had the conversation, but it's probably creeping in. Here at Kent McKinley, we had a kid, Manny Powell, who decided to sit out his senior year. Quinn Ewers, that was a backup quarterback at Ohio State, he has since gone into the transfer portal, and we understand that, but sat out his senior year in high school. Have you been in conversation about maybe this creeping in, and if so, how will we address it moving forward?
Well, we're aware of that. That has happened a few times. I don't think it's not on the front burner right now. I don't think it's a widespread issue that's happening. You know, and really one of the good things is that one of the sports where that does happen is football. Mm-hmm. But the good thing is that we play football in the fall, and then a lot of those kids will then graduate from high school early and enroll at their college in January so they can be a part of spring ball. So that doesn't really affect the high school game in the fall. You know, I think you're always going to have some outliers that we hear about that. I would not say we're concerned about that. We think that, you know, 99.999% of high school student athletes want to play their 4 years. You know, the issue that happens at the college level with players, you know, maybe not playing in the bowl game and that kind of thing, that's such a separate issue compared to what we have with the high school level. So, no, I don't think we're concerned about that. I think that the vast majority of high school student athletes want to, you know, play their 4 years and as a senior compete for a state title.
Well, you know what else creeps in is the name, image, and likeness that they adopted at the NCAA level. If I can leave my senior year, go to college and get paid, maybe I'll take a chance on doing that. Any chance of maybe looking at name, image, and likeness at the high school level?
Well, you're absolutely right. That is kind of the elephant in the room right now. And if there is something that may speed up this whole process a little bit, that could be it. In fact, there is a lawsuit right now in the state of Florida from a group of high school student athletes that want to have NIL at the high school level too. So we're certainly keeping a close eye on that. We do talk about NIL. I will certainly say that we talk about NIL a lot. Some of our amateur bylaws were kind of based on how the old college rules read. You know, you could not endorse a product, those kind of things. And well, now you can do that at the college level. So now we have to rethink some of our bylaws. You know, we're thinking about it. We're talking about it. I know that we've already had a conversation or two with our board, so they're certainly aware of it. I do think we may here in the future put out a couple feelers to our member schools as to how do our schools think that this should be governed. You know, should we keep our bylaws as is? Should we look at tweaking a little bit here and there? You know, certainly it's not going away. So we're going to keep talking about it. Don't have anything in concrete right now to say that we're going to change the bylaw, but certainly, especially if we start seeing a lot of kids leaving their senior year to sign that NIL deal like Quinn did at Ohio State, certainly that's going to put it on the front burner.
Tim, would that then affect what we as a radio station who do games and pick a player of the game and potentially give them something? There's a limit, right? We can't exceed a certain amount of dollars for them. Could that affect that as well?
Well, I tell you where it could affect it, and you're right, Kenny, that stations and media outlets can do that now. They can pick a player of the game, and they can give that player a gift. I think the limit is $400, but they can certainly recognize that student athlete. The biggest change that we've seen this year is that in the past, a player could receive those gifts, but they could not endorse the station. They couldn't say, "Hi, I'm Tim Street. I'm the player of the game. Catch me and my teammates on WHBC." In the past, they could not do that. That was one of those bylaws that we leaned on, the NCAA rule. Well, right. Now we had to say that, yes, a student athlete can say that, "Hi, I'm Tim Street, and you're listening to the game on WHBC." That is permitted now. So that's one of the changes that has come about here just in the last few months. That went in August, actually. So things are already changing a little bit. But to answer your first question, yes, a station can give a student athlete a player of the game award, and that player now can even thank the station publicly and give them a shout-out.
How about that? A lot of things changing, not only in professional and college sports, but in high school sports as well, and that's why we love having Tim Street from the OHSAA on with us when things like this come to the forefront and our headline stories. Tim, thanks so much for making time for us on short notice. Continued success there, and anything new that happens, by all means, we'd love to have you back on the show, so keep us posted, all right?
Hey, sounds good. Great chatting with you guys. Be happy to anytime.